This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome, showrunners, to yet another brand new episode of the Showrunner Podcast. This is episode number 38. We're very happy that you're with us. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I am joined by my friend, my co-host, defender of humanity, Johnny Naster, also the host of Hack the Entrepreneur, aspiring author, and thunderclap expert, which you'll find out about in a minute. Mr. Naster, welcome.
Oh, thanks, man. These intros just keep getting better and better and better.
But you keep doing more things. I just have to keep adding on to the intro. Pretty soon it'll be best-selling author.
I'm going to just stop doing stuff. So this is my co-host, John.
That's your reason for not doing stuff, to make the intros easier?
Yeah, I'm not even sure why he's still here, but he just keeps showing up. So,
man, my career was going great, but then Jared kept doing these real long intros, and so I just stopped doing things. Johnny, you realize that makes no sense, right?
Yeah, I do. As I said, it's one of those things that made sense when I was thinking it, but when I verbalized it, it was like, that doesn't make any sense, John.
Well, okay, so here's what makes sense. We are recording this on December 8th. This episode will go live on December 16th, and that's typically the lead time that we have. We usually record on Tuesday for the episode that will come out the following Wednesday. That's just our typical schedule. So right now, obviously, we talked in a previous episode about how Thanksgiving can be a moving target depending on what country you live in. Two events that are not moving targets are Christmas and New Year's. Those tend to be the same dates around the world. And so now as we sit here on the 8th, our next two episodes...
What about Chinese New Year's?
Dadgummit.
But Chinese New Year's. And actually, I believe in Russia it's different. It is different, actually. I think several parts of Eastern Europe and Asia, it's different, which is like a couple billion people.
I'm done. I quit.
you shouldn't be so definitive with your dates and holidays, because it really does vary throughout the world.
I'm really branding myself as the holiday idiot. It's very sad. Very sad. Okay, well, let me say it this way.
Sorry, you had a great flow going through. And I totally disturbed.
For the majority of our listening audience, certainly for our North American audience, can I say that? Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so for our North American...
You can say anything.
Yes, I can.
Am I correct?
So for our North American audience, the Christmas and New Year holidays are going to be the same. And for Rainmaker FM, we actually have specific dates where we have to have episodes turned in by so that they get posted. So we're sitting here on December 8th, and I figured we should look ahead to our holiday schedule and figure out what we want to do, because we have episodes, you know, on the calendar for December 23rd and then also for December 30th. Now, obviously, the 23rd, 2 days before Christmas, December 30th, the day before New Year's Eve. And I think we can rightly assume that attention to those episodes will probably be a tad less, just because there's a lot of stuff going on, last minute shopping, traveling, you know, all of that different stuff. Although I wonder if the attention is as much less as we may think, because there's also, again, people listen to stuff on traveling while they're driving to the store, all that different kind of stuff. I don't have any definitive data on it one way or the other. I didn't prepare any anyway before this episode. But what do you think that we should do with these two episodes? Should we plan full episodes? Should we just do an episode of Christmas carols on the 23rd? What do you think would be a good idea to do? I'm partial to the Christmas carol idea, but
yeah, now that you mentioned Christmas carols, I mean, kind of makes sense. So this has actually changed for me. Last year, I was so adamant, like I just powered through with Hack the Entrepreneur and just like, holidays be damned. I'm just going for it, right? I have a schedule, keep the schedule. And this year I kind of like started actively, because I'm going again through, as I've talked about, doing my ad spots. So the inventory, they call it, is being sold through Midroll. They sell it a couple months in advance. So like back in September, they sent out an email to make sure to block off holidays you're not going to be publishing. And I actually went ahead and I'm just looking at it now. So Tuesday, December 22nd, then 24th, 28th, 29th, and 31st. All those dates I have actually blocked off. So I don't have to publish those days if I don't want. Because I have no ad spots.
Nice.
What's the point of running a show if I don't have ad spots, right?
Well, it's to educate and connect with your audience.
That was sarcasm. It didn't come across very well. So it's weird, but I haven't actually convinced myself yet that I'm not going to run actual episodes then. I'm not forced to. So once the ad spot's sold, I can't just back out at the last minute.
Right.
They paid me. It's not cool. It's not proper business. So I'm looking at it right now. It's like, that's like a week off. I don't know if I actually want to take a week off from the show, but I can. But then it's like with our show, it's once a week and it's fun to do. So I don't know. Like really, I don't, because it's evergreen content. I mean, if we put out an episode right on Christmas Day and not that many people listen to it on Christmas Day, I bet you between Christmas and New Year's, people will go back and listen to it. They might even really enjoy it because it's obviously going to be, it won't be just like one of these boring episodes that we always do, you know, where we're not laughing and stuff. It'll probably be a fun holiday one. So the fact that it's like, it's not just, it's out that day you publish it and it gets deleted in 24 hours. Like it's not something like that. So it's literally can be there. If a person gets to it in January 7th and listens to it, it might be like, oh, that was kind of cool. They did that. And it might kind of deepen that connection to us.
It might, but don't you also think, we know the reality is, you know, a show comes out, that's when you're going to get the majority of the listens. And if people have less time to listen that week and the showrunner doesn't make the cut, that episode will fall into the archives and some people will get it. But some people also will probably take, you know, those couple of weeks, they won't listen to podcasts as much, if at all, as they used to. You know, and so I wonder if it's maybe doing some short episodes would be good, you know, short. You know,
short 40-minute episodes. We've had such bad luck with short episodes.
That's true.
They actually go longer than regular episodes.
That is true. Well, all right. So I guess we'll have to figure this out. I figured one benefit of talking about this is we could let people know exactly what to expect. What should we make a definitive statement? Will we have episodes on the 23rd and 30th for people to look forward to, caroling or not?
I think not the 23rd. Let's say not the 23rd. Let's definitively say not the 23rd.
Not the 23rd, and because we're celebrating Russian Christmas.
Right, exactly. Actually, I believe it's after, but sorry, I had a programmer that I worked with for years, and he's from Russia, and I learned all this stuff. It was like early January, and yeah. It was so, but I think that the 30th we should do a finale to 2015. 2015 is the year we started the show, the year we started the course. We should kind of recap what we've done, what we've learned, and also potentially tell people what to expect from us maybe coming into the new year.
I like it. Okay. I'm down with that.
Of which I don't know. And I would love to know too. So
I'm down with that. This will help. So nothing on the 23rd, although I will neither confirm nor deny that I'm thinking about slipping in a showrunner short, singing a Christmas carol. I guess people just have to wait for that. And then an episode on the 30th to lead people triumphantly and enthusiastically into the new year.
Totally.
Perfect.
Yes.
I like it.
It's been a great year. It's going to be an even better one.
I agree. So we've got an interesting topic today. You ready to hit it up?
Yeah, let's do
it. All right, let's talk about it now. So, Johnny, something very exciting happened yesterday. And by yesterday, I mean December 15th, since this episode is coming out on December 16th. Would you like to explain what that exciting event was?
My book was launched.
Boom. Which is very exciting.
Yeah. Imagine we had a thunderous like sound effect right there, like a thunderclap.
Maybe Toby can get one. Just loud thunder.
Yeah, rolling sort of thunder and crackle. That'd be awesome.
By the way, you know what I think of every time I hear the term thunderclap? I don't know if you remember this, but there was an old cartoon called The Thundercats, and they had that song, Thunder, 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 Thundercats. And I used to always sing it when I was little because it was my favorite cartoon when I was younger. And I cannot, every time we talk about this topic, I get that song in my head. Now, you may not know that. I guarantee you there are people listening right now that are like, that are nodding their head. They're getting ready to do their lino. Give me sight beyond sight. I'm telling you, there are please email me and let me know that there are people out there so I feel better about that interlude.
And you know what the best part is? Toby just found that sound effect and put that
he
in.
He did. Thanks,
intro,
Toby.
You know, just for us. But yeah, yesterday my book went live and I used this tool, this online tool that you can use for launches. And that's why we wanted to bring it into the show, because I didn't use it for the launch. We didn't use it for the launch of this show. We didn't use it for the launch of Hack the Entrepreneur. This is the first time I've ever actually used it, but it's really cool. It's really easy to kind of use. And it's a great way to build momentum around a launch of either a podcast or a book or anything, I guess, you wanted to do online. And so, yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. And I think I hadn't actually thought of it as a podcast launch until you mentioned it last week at the end of the episode. And I was like, yeah, that would actually be a great way for people. It's a great sort of tool. So I guess we should explain what it
is. Yes. Yeah. And let's start there. Explain what it is, how you used it for your book. And then that can lead into a discussion about how people could use it for the show.
Okay. So Thunderclap is kind of like the name, it kind of explains it. The fact that you set up a campaign, and so you write the tweet / Facebook / Tumblr, what's going to be said by the person. So I send a link to somebody, or they see a link to my Thunderclap campaign. It brings them to a page that says, Hack the Entrepreneur, the book is live. And then there's like a big blue thing that's my tweet that I've made. So it said, new book, # Hack the Entrepreneur, Stop Procrastinating, Build a Business, Do Work That Matters by John Nastor. And then there's three big buttons, support Facebook, support Twitter, or support Tumblr. And you literally, as the person going to support this, you would click Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr. And it literally just sets up to go out to all of your followers on those social platforms or whichever one you choose, all at the exact same time, the time that I set as the person who set the campaign up. So yesterday at 11 a.m. Eastern, my campaign went out to everybody's social following at the same time, causing what they would call a thunderclap, meaning that it's got this twofold sort of benefit as I see it. The first one being that obviously you will make some sales or downloads or whatever it is you're trying to promote at that very sort of minute and that time, but it has the benefit of a launch, like the pros sort of get to do, meaning where you get in front of a lot of different people, or you get in front of the same person from a lot of different people all at once. So you get that, you know, when something big launches and you get like emails from all these different people about it, or you just hear about it a lot, like a new movie coming out and you hear about it everywhere you go. This is kind of the benefit of it. So even if you don't necessarily make like a conversion or a sale or a download right at that second, the benefit is that people are like, they've heard about you so many times from so many different people in that one day that eventually I think they might come around to your product or your service or your podcast, which I think is really, really cool. So it's interesting. So you set this up. You can set it up totally free, but you have to then, you set it up to be, I think, personal, professional, or another one. And you have to get a certain number of supporters for it in order for the Thunderclap to actually activate and go off. So meaning that I set mine up as a personal one. I had to get 100 supporters. They can have any sort of, it's gone by social reach. So if I have 2,500 followers on Twitter, my social reach is 2,500 there. So if I support it with Twitter, then it adds 2,500 to the social reach. So it's hard to know because we're recording right now on the 6th or 8th, is it?
It is the 8th, yes.
The 8th. And so right now I currently have 125 supporters. I needed 100. So I'm at 125% of my goal. So the Thunderclap will go off. And the social reach currently is at 976,886, meaning that that's in theory how many people, the reach of the people that have supported me, which is really interesting because I think it's great. It's a great tool because you get this link that is completely free for somebody to support you. And it's such a great, easy tool to reach out and make connections with people on Twitter, on Facebook, via email. You can literally just like email and like, wow, I would love your support. Or you could just a great way to touch base and then be like, this literally will take you 20. I think I've been saying this will take you 27 seconds to help my book launch so much. And like nobody says no to that. It's like, wow, this is so easy for me. And then they respond to email and you kind of keep chatting. It's great. It's such a great, they feel like they've helped and they've helped a lot. And you get put in front of their audience for that one promotion. So it's, I don't know. It's just a great, great, awesome. I love the service. Hey,
no, I think it's really interesting. So a couple quick ideas for you, you know, as we think about ways that we can get you to 100,000 before the launch, have you posted about it in the Showrunner Podcasting Group, Showrunner Podcasting Course Facebook group yet?
I haven't.
Because that's one big benefit of being in a course like the Showrunner where you have a community is being able to post something like that, gain support. And obviously, you know, you're one of the two leaders of the course, but you're still part of it like everybody else. Another question for you, and I know the answer to this one, but have you included a link or a call to action in one of our weekly Showrunner emails for people to do this?
No.
See, and what's interesting is last week or on the episode that is coming out on the 9th or that came out on the 9th, we talk about Thunderclap. And so there's actually a perfect, it would make perfect sense for us to include a link to your Thunderclap in the email announcing that episode. So actually, if once we get off this call, if you want to send me a blurb, we can add that to the email because it's not scheduled yet.
That's awesome.
And that's, you know, and that's important, you know, because as we were talking about before we came on, you can't just set up a Thunderclap as kind of like this afterthought and not nurture it and not, you know, draw attention to it. You've really got to work to get your 100 or 250 or 500 people, whatever goal you set, A, to get it to go out, and B, so that it has any type of meaning. And so it's important to obviously use all the different networks that you have, all the different audiences that you've built, because those are the people who want to support you. I mean, I went and saw it today, signed up. I want to support you. And there's probably other people who haven't heard about it yet who will want to as well.
Yeah, it's really, I was really on the fence about it before. I was kind of just like, when we planned out, it's 3 months, we planned out like 90 days kind of before the book, sort of a launch plan. I saw Thunderclap on there and I kind of rolled my eyes, just like, whatever. Like, I've seen it happen, but I didn't see sort of the side benefits. And that really is that connection I get to make to so many people, like actually reaching out to them, being like, wow, that'd be awesome if you would help. And it's such an easy ask that it really makes it, people just want to, right? And then it also deepens their connection now. Everybody, I think, that has supported it, it deepens their connection also to the product, right? Which is really cool because now they kind of like, well, I've already like supported it and like I've tweeted it out to all of my followers. So I'll probably buy a copy for $4 too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is really cool. It's like got a great side benefit. If it was your podcast, it would also, they'd probably, when it came out and the tweet or the Facebook message came through their actual Facebook, they probably click the link and subscribe to your show and at least check it out, which is really cool because now you have a whole bunch of subscribers just from your supporters. Like, this is literally like the street team or something, as a big company would use to get all these like groundswell supporters out helping you on the day of your launch. And it really is so easy. And yeah, it's, I don't know. It seems like, I was worried I wouldn't get 100 people. And so I know, I'm sure you're probably listening and being like, oh, well, John, you got 125 people. But it's like, well, yeah, but I didn't think I would get it either. I literally got this from Dan Norris of WP Curve. He's put out two books now, two really good books. Content Machine came out about 2 months ago. And I'm kind of following his method of launching the book. And then he put out 7 Day Startup like a year and a bit ago. And he's used Thunderclap both times. And it was impressive on the time. I supported both of them too. And I didn't even know what it really was. But I was like, okay, that's cool. But on that day of launch, it was like my Twitter feed and my Facebook was just covered in his book. And it was like, wow. And I've talked to him and he's like, well, the sales weren't massive from it, but it's like me. Like it was in front of you from so many people supporting it just in such a simple social way that it really kind of just gives it the momentum. And it's just super, it's just excellent service. So I strongly suggest it.
So we're going to take a quick little interlude here, a little mid-roll ad of our own, because I want to let people know. And by the way, once we get done with this quick interlude, we're going to talk about how you could use Thunderclap for your own show. But I want to let people know, again, it's December 16th when this episode comes out. On December 17th, Brian Clark and I are hosting a free webinar where we're going to talk about adaptive content and marketing automation, what that is, how you can use it, and then also show you some different ways that you can use the Rainmaker platform to do it. It's actually the fifth in our six-part webinar series. If you go to rainmakerplatform.com/webinar, you can see all of the different webinars. You'll see the fifth one right there, and you can click on that page and you'll find a link to register for the webinar. Again, it's free, and even if you can't make it, it's in the afternoon on December 17th. Even if you can't make the live showing, still register, because that way you'll get an email when the replay is ready. But it's going to be a really valuable, really interesting session, and so we hope you'll join us. Again, it's rainmakerplatform.com/webinar. Go to that fifth webinar about adaptive content and marketing automation, and we're going to talk to you about how you can really go the next step with your audience. Like, I've been implementing a lot of this stuff on my assembly call site, just as a way to deepen the connection with an audience, give them more relevant content at the right time. So we hope you'll join us for that. So let's turn our attention now, Johnny, to how folks could use Thunderclap for launching a show. Because as I think about this, you know, I'm thinking back to when we launched The Showrunner. And remember, we had the very first episode of The Showrunner. If you're a new listener to The Showrunner, you haven't heard that episode, it's very, very different from the rest of our episodes. It was very much done in kind of an NPR or like a startup type style, where it's kind of narrative and there's different interviews and it's telling the story of why right now is the perfect time to start a podcast. And it strikes me that using Thunderclap for that episode to direct a whole bunch of attention to that episode could have really, really been useful. So my question to you is then, as you think about using this for a launch, how would you structure your Thunderclap? Would you do it right when that first episode comes out, or would you let your first few episodes come out, then do the Thunderclap to attract attention to a specific episode, and then have at least a small little archive there of 3 to 4 episodes, so that when people hopefully subscribe, then they have 3 or 4 episodes they can download, and that kind of helps you build that momentum in iTunes? I'm guessing the latter. What do you think? What would be a good way to use Thunderclap in conjunction with a show launch?
So I would do it exactly as we teach people to do the launch, which is launch with 3 episodes always, and do everything the same, have the same amount in the can already recorded when you go into launch, have the same sequences of bonus episodes ready in your first 8 weeks. But that whole, as you're leading up, say the 3 weeks leading, when you know your launch date is on the 5th of January or something, and you're leading into it, I didn't realize it as a struggle before, but it is a struggle where the question's always like, well, do I put up like a landing page? And do I, like, when I start talking to friends and people, do I start sending them there and trying to get them onto an email list? And we all know that that stuff's hard to do, right? It's hard to get a landing page up. And then it's also hard sometimes, I mean, the landing page itself, you can obviously get up, but getting something that's worthwhile so that people will actually, like, so I go talk to my friend, tell them about my new show on Facebook. Then they go to this landing page, they look at it, they're like, oh, there's shows not here. I don't get what I'm supposed to do. So you lose a lot of people. You don't get them onto that email list. Then the percentage that you do get onto the email list, only a percentage of those people open that email when it's launch time. So you kind of, it doesn't get this big impact, right? So my thought is, if you did the same thing that we teach, except for the 3 weeks leading up to it, you literally had started a Thunderclap and you just worked your butt off to get 100 people to support you. Every single person you talk to in every Facebook group, every time you talk on Twitter, if you have an email list, every time put in a PS or something at the beginning, sending people to your thunderclap, and just everywhere, everything you're talking about, the excitement around the show is heading to this thunderclap. This thunderclap is then going to direct to your site to the first episode, which you're going to already need to know that URL at that point, but you can figure that out on your site, what it's going to be. It doesn't have to be published at this point. It needs to be live by the time your thunderclap goes off. And then from the thunderclap, it goes to your site, pushes them to the first episode. That first episode, they like it, and that sends them, hopefully directs them to iTunes to subscribe. Then it's your job of the content from that subscription and from your show to get them back to your site eventually and get them onto your email list. And then you build and grow that relationship. I think that that is exactly how it needs to work. And I think, like it was for my book, and I didn't realize it until I did it, it makes this connection and this communication of support so much easier than go there and hopefully get on the email list. And then hopefully I'll send you some stuff and tell you about the show as it comes out. This is just like, it's a no brainer. Everybody's going to say yes to you. And now they're kind of, like I said, when it goes across their Facebook page from their own support of you, they're going to click that link. They're going to go listen to your first episode. And then, I mean, it's up to your show to be good at that point and not lose them at that point. But that's a whole different thing, right? But I think that should be your sequence. So the same launch sequence that we have, I think we have that 15 or 17 part launch sequence. Just the landing page part, I think, should switch to Thunderclap.
Gotcha. So, okay. So then, so your call to action is selling that first episode. It's not necessarily selling like the overall show. It's selling, get people to the first episode, listen to the first episode.
Yeah, okay. I'm working my butt off on this show that's going to be excellent. So if you could support my Thunderclap campaign that is going to promote my first episode, who's going to say no to that?
Gotcha. And then, okay, so there's two different calls to action, because you have the call to action to ask people to support, but then you have your actual Thunderclap call to action, like the tweet or the message that you're structuring.
Oh,
and like
right,
for
right,
you,
right.
For yours, for the Hack the Entrepreneur book, it's the title of the book, basically. And that's what I'm saying is for that, for structuring that, it would be, you know, probably the headline of your episode, you know, or something to sell that first episode, not necessarily the show itself, but to sell the listen to the episode, drive people to that piece of content. And then, like you said, hope then that the content does the job of getting people to subscribe to the bigger show.
Right. So each step, as exactly as you said it, so each step has to have one clear call to action.
Yep.
Not like a blurred sort of, hopefully you'll do all of these things. It's you do this, help me support the Thunderclap. Then the Thunderclap is going to push there. Then it's going to push from your site to iTunes to subscribe. And then from subscribe to push back to your site to get an email.
Yep. So, hey, so let me ask you a question real quick on Thunderclap. Does it include an image when people tweet or post on Facebook?
No.
Okay.
And I think so. Thunderclap, the history of it is pretty short, but they got, I think, banned from Twitter at first. Oh. And then had to work, because it's using it in this massive way to send out, but then they had to prove that it's not spam. Like, that's the whole reason why you have to get 100 supporters. So everybody with their crappy product can't just like put it on, forget it, and just like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's like, you have to actively get real supporters. And so it's not spam. It's the same message going to a whole bunch of people, but they're literally supporting you in this. And Twitter's cool with it now, but at first they weren't. But you can't have an image, and you can only work within the whole 140 characters, including their link. So like, the message that you'll see when you go to my Thunderclap campaign is, it probably took me 25 to write to get that. The thing that I'd learned from seeing other successful ones is to put a hashtag in. So I did hashtag Hack the Entrepreneur rather than just the title, Hack the Entrepreneur, with spaces in it. And that's so that I can now go on that day, and I'm going to go on, and I'm going to make sure that everybody that retweets it or likes it or comments on anybody's of these like million that go out, that I can say something to them. This is a great outreach. This is the whole thing we talk about social. We're trying to join conversations. Like, it would be foolish of me not to join the conversation about my actual book, but it would be so hard to find if I didn't put that hashtag in. So on Thunderclap, there's up on the navigation menu, there's a very bold case studies thing. And there's like, I think about 10 really, like there's Tim Ferriss and some popular, like some TV shows that have launched through this, some HBO special things. And so it's really cool. So you go through and you can see actually what their campaign message was. And so I just kind of looked at like, well, what was successful? Then there's like, you can categorize them below. And so I went into books and I looked at ones that were successful, ones that weren't. And I just tried to see, and that's where I figured out like, oh wow, these successful ones all have this hashtag that they create for their book. So it's interesting, right? And there's a lot of information on Thunderclap that will really help you. So they kind of, I mean, they do the work for you. They show the case studies. They show you what has worked so that you can make yours very simply work as well.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so that's how people could use it for a launch. A lot of our listeners have started shows. You know, they're in the midst of shows. Are there ways that you can think of Thunderclap working when people already have a show? Like I was kind of doing some brainstorming before we came on here and thinking about, okay, how would we use this now for the showrunner? And obviously when we launched the course, you know, I can see a way to use it there. But I'm also wondering if, you know, when you're in mid-show already, I wonder if you could create like a special live event. Like, for example, you know, we've talked about doing Blab episodes, right? Where we're going to, you know, put not the private Blabs that we do for our showrunner huddles, but more like a public blab to answer podcasting questions, connect with folks. I wonder if we could set up a public blab to talk about podcasting or talk about a specific topic, you know, like what needs to happen with podcasting in 2016 to go to the next level or whatever it is, and then promote that with a Thunderclap, you know, so that and basically have it coincide the blab link, the launch of our blab, with the Thunderclap. So if it's supposed to go live on January 15th at 2 o'clock, we have a blab that goes live right at that point, and the link takes people to that to drive people to that live event. Fair, a good use of Thunderclap, you think? Any other ideas that you have for how people mid-show could use it to promote something?
Yeah. And like you said, so this is like when you, in your business, you're just trying to get PR or some sort of attention, you can create sort of and like something to promote. And that can be like, literally you could create new show artwork if you wanted. And then you could literally make that like a relaunch of the show. If your show's been around for 6 months or 8 months or a year, it doesn't matter. Do a relaunch based on new artwork and, or you change, you know what I mean? And just call it a like you can word it so that there's a reason and a cause for people to get behind.
But make it sound epic. Promoting, you know, this. Not like, hey, episode 40 is coming out. Like something big, something that people will want to rally around. Some kind of event.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So you can do something special, but it's just, it's really about just being creative at that point and seeing what, and then obviously before coming up with this whole grand plan, go on to Thunderclap and make sure that they're going to accept what it is you're doing. They don't accept everything. They accept a lot of stuff. Like there could be causes, books, like digital content, all that kind of stuff is allowed in publishing. But it's, if it was a blatant, just trying to maybe, I don't know. It's just, I would not go through the whole planning stages without going there. But at the very bottom of Thunderclap, the site, so it's thunderclap.it. You can go, you can browse by categories, all the active ones that exist right now. And you probably get some ideas of like, you might even see other shows, what they've done, and then kind of learn from them, right? And build off of that. But every show, every person can create a reason, an epic event to get this Thunderclap behind them.
And that, ladies and gentlemen of the showrunner audience, is how you use Thunderclap to launch and promote your show. Toby, that'd be an awesome place for a really loud Thunderclap soundbite.
Also, showrunner audience, I hope that that was all just a really, really good way to promote and launch your first book based on your show. Because yesterday it happened, and but it also happened in the future for me. So I don't actually know how well it works. But I think that it's going to be really, really, really awesome. And I think that all this is going to... Well, I've talked to people who have had it work really well, and the reach of mine is amazing.
Yeah, so, if for some reason this thunderclap doesn't go off, we're going to have about 23 hours to scramble and record a new episode before this. the risk you take when you talk about future events in
exactly.
an episode.
It's hard.
Okay. Well, how about this? Let's be safe and let's do a couple of recommendations for events that have already happened so we know that when people go to the links, they'll be live. You ready?
Let's do it. Yes.
All right, so the podcast I want to recommend, and this is going to be a little different, Johnny, because you actually have a link to a blog post that you want to recommend. And I want to just quickly recommend a show on Rainmaker FM. We haven't talked about it much, but it's called Rainmaker.fm Elsewhere. And if you go to Rainmaker.fm, you'll find it up there in the shows tab. And basically what this is, you know, folks like Brian Clark and Brian Gardner and a lot of our team get interviewed on other podcasts. And we realized that there wasn't a great way for our audience to be able to listen to these episodes. And so basically what Rainmaker FM Elsewhere is just syndication of all of these other episodes. And we put them on Rainmaker FM. We ask permission, of course, make sure that the people are okay with it. And then we rebroadcast those episodes in their entirety on Rainmaker FM. And so, you know, interviews that I've done with, you know, Harry Duran from Podcast Junkies, for example, you know, where the Rainmaker FM audience may not get a chance to see that if they're not also part of the Podcast Junkies audience. Now that episode is brought over and it does a couple of things. Number one, it provides attention to our folks and other content that they've spent time creating, and it introduces them to other shows, which is nice. And so this is something, obviously, we can do an entire show on this because we have a lot of different people who were getting interviewed, and so there's plenty of content. But it's something to think about for you as well, because chances are you are out there being interviewed on other shows, and it is fair game. Obviously, you want to let your people know about that show, tweet it to them, but it's also fair game to rebroadcast that episode right in your feed. Go ask that showrunner if it's okay, and maybe that's a piece of content for you for the week. And I would come on and maybe, if this isn't something that you do regularly, maybe record an intro that talks about the interview, gives a little background, tells people why they should listen, and then rebroadcast that episode. You're investing the time to do it, and you're doing that to build your audience, so it makes sense to make sure that your audience can hear that content as well. And so I recommend this both because there's some great shows on there and because it's an interesting idea that some of you may be able to take advantage of. So that's Rainmaker.fm Elsewhere. Go to Rainmaker.fm and you will find it up there in the shows tab. Mr. Nastor, over to you for an interesting blog post that you want to recommend.
Sure. I love the idea of Elsewhere. I remember when I first saw it on the Rainmaker.fm page, I emailed a couple people in Rainmaker because I was like, that's brilliant. It's got an awesome name. Yeah. It's got awesome artwork. And I was like, that makes so much sense to be able to, I mean, reuse that content. And plus, it also is an incentive for people to want you even on their shows even more because you're now broadcasting them to your audience. Yep. It's so smart. So, yeah. I'm hoping all Rainmaker people can get on there one day.
Absolutely.
We'll see. So last night, so the 7th of December, ConvertKit. So ConvertKit is email company where you can, they do the automation and all that kind of fancy stuff. They talk all about email. They're a fairly new company run by Nathan Berry, who I believe is in Digital Commerce Institute,
yes,
right?
We did one of the two webinars we launched with was with him, telling us the entire story of how ConvertKit was founded, which was fascinating.
Yeah. And so last night, ConvertKit put out a blog post. I believe it's called "To Freebie or Not to Freebie?" That is the question. And it's based on and inspired by our re-ran episode we ran last week, which is really, really cool. The email one where we talk about opt-in incentives and just email marketing for showrunners in general. And this is excellent I loved it. There's like such massive quotes, and they actually took, because we're obviously on the Rainmaker platform, they could, I think, just use that share button that's right on our player, and they literally just embedded our episode player right into their blog post, and then took out massive quotes from both of us, and also went into some fist bumping in the banana aisle, apparently.
Yes. Well, now, a quick dramatic reading of a section of this blog post. When I listened to John Naster on that showrunner episode while I was grocery shopping, I was fist pumping down the frozen food aisle, and I'm fairly certain I shouted yes out loud somewhere near the bananas.
It's so awesome. If that doesn't make you go read this, it's a great article, and it really is a further discussion on the idea of offering opted incentives for your list or not offering them. But then it's a deeper sort of conversation like we got into, where it's not necessarily, and I even went on and commented on the article that because the original episode was published months ago, and now that I've moved to ConvertKit from MailChimp, it's actually a lot easier for me to segment lists and to try different things. So I've started using opt-in incentives just to test, because you should always be testing these things. But the end result of being on my list is that I still treat those people as human beings and not just as numbers that I always want more of. So I think that that's kind of should be the discussion, is not so much how you're getting them to your list. You want to get obviously as many people as you can that are going to be into what you're providing on that list. But yeah, it's a good length article. It's got some great quotes, and it's got our episode right in it. So definitely go check it out. It's ConvertKit. It's going to be hard to find, I guess, without a link. So there's a link in our show notes for you on Rainmaker.fm.
Yes. And you can find the show notes by going to showrunner.fm. And also on showrunner.fm, you can find the opt-in to our email list. And if you have not yet signed up for the Showrunner email list, go to showrunner.fm, provide your email address, and we will in turn provide you with a week-long autoresponder series, The Essential Elements of a Remarkable Podcast, that will be dripped out over the course of about 7 days. And we'll give you the core principles, philosophies that we adhere to when it comes to showrunning and building our show, building our audience, and we would love to have you on that list. In fact, if you haven't decided what you want to get Johnny and me for Christmas, just give us your email list. That's all we need. That's the best stocking stuffer there is, an email list. Or your email
except
address.
For my book. Except for Hack the Entrepreneur, the book.
For your book, yes.
That is the stocking stuffer of the season, I hear.
Maybe of the century.
No, let's not push it. But definitely of the season, seeing as it's launching December 14th and it's within like a week of the season, let's give it that.
Yes.
But we won't push it any further than that. But all of your friends, relatives, neighbors, enemies will love it. So get them all multiple copies.
Do you want to give it to your enemies, though?
Yeah, you really? Do. No, you don't. Because it's an awesome book, and it'll make your enemies even more successful and cooler and better and faster and nicer and better looking. And then you'll dislike them even more.
Yeah.
So yeah, terrible idea. Don't give them to your enemies at all. Buy them for your enemies, but don't give it to your enemies. Tear it up in front of them.
Just buy them.
definitely buy them a copy, though.
Okay, so with that said, we are unlikely to talk to you next week. Again, we will be off December 23rd, unless the only way there will be an episode, Johnny, is if we decide to perform some kind of Christmas carol. So even if there is an episode, you probably don't want to listen to it. But we will be back on December 30th with a brand new episode of The Showrunner. So don't miss us too much. Have a wonderful holiday. And we will talk to you on New Year's Eve.
Yes. It's going to be fun. Have a great holidays, guys.
Thunderclap. Worst thunderclap ever.
Oh, next to the best sales pitch ever, though.
Yeah, really.
Well, that was something.